Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our consideration today is the Epistle to the Philippians, chapter 1, verses 2 through 11. Paul is going to lead us into an understanding of what his apostolic and pastoral office really was all about, and his concern for the flock of God, wherever they were, whatever particular parish they might be throughout Asia Minor. He had one concern, that they would be found ready to meet the Lord in that day. My concern for all of you as well: are you ready to meet the Lord? He opens up in verse 2 of our text today with the apostolic greeting that I just used here. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, over the years, worship and the things that we do in church can become mundane, trivial. We forget their true meaning and why they're here. We forget the purpose that every time we gather in His holy name, God is actually here trying to accomplish a work in your heart, that He might continue that work of grace in you every time we get together. This apostolic greeting that seems mundane at times, we hear it over and over. It's kind of like the manna the children of Israel had in the wilderness. It was a blessing and a grace from God. Out there, where there was no abundance of food to feed a nation, God provided. But it didn't take very long before they'd wake up in the morning for their morning joe and wake up, and they had to go and pick up the manna, and they just got to the point where, what is this? And they got sick of it. But it was the grace of God. It was life to them. And how they take that. Well, same thing with the blessing, this apostolic blessing. It's not just words. It's just not liturgical form. It's like the benediction that I give at the end. Aaron was told to preach that word and speak that word over the people. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. After he said those words, it says, "Thus shall Aaron put my name on the children of God." So that blessing isn't, again, just words. There's a spiritual connotation. He's putting his holy name on you. He's anointing you with his spirit and his gifts. And he, after this service, the last words that I speak back there to you, again, mundane. We don't pay much attention to it. But what are my final words as a messenger, a divine messenger of God to you? Go in peace and serve the Lord. That's your first station in life, is serving Him. I would tell you to turn your ears on to the things that you encounter every Sunday or any time this church is open to proclaim and administer word and sacrament. It's God's grace to you. How active are you in it? Because you will be held accountable of how you've worshiped Him, how you've taken these gifts of His and utilize them. Because those who respond in faith, He has promised to strengthen and to bless their lives as they seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He says, don't worry about it. All the things of the world, the Gentiles run after, money, fame, power, pleasure, they will be yours, children. But put it in right order. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the other things of this life will be put in place for you. They'll be granted to you from the Father. So, just the opening statement. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Those are spiritual words and their power. Paul begins his address to the Philippians in verse 3. He says, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. That doesn't mean that they were always continually there, but in his ministry, as he was off proclaiming the gospel and opening up parishes and bringing the gospel to the Gentiles, often he would have messengers come from the parishes that were already established in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as an apostle, he had the shepherdly responsibility of many parishes. The people were always, well, when a messenger would come, or he would instantly begin to pray for them, because he understood the role of his office, that it wasn't just, again, liturgical form for him to pray for them. He was going right before the throne of God. He was praying constantly for them. And for what? That they would receive the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, always in every prayer of mine, I request for you all with joy. Why would the pastor's prayers for his flock and for the people of God bring him joy? Because I'm praying to a God that loves you and is going to answer prayer. It's a part of my life. I know to those who will receive it in faith, he's going to bless you. That brings joy to my heart and to Paul's as well. See, and he also, as a pastor, and he prays these things, he knows your needs as Christians. These were all young baby congregations throughout Asia Minor. I don't care how old you are when you first come to the gospel. You could be 70 years old, but you're a babe in the Lord. You're a babe in the things of God, and you need to grow up in them. That's why God gave us gifts to men. When Christ ascended on high and took his place at the throne, he gave gifts to men. He gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, pastors and teachers. For what? For the perfection of the body of Christ, to grow you up to maturity so you're not blown around by every wind of doctrine, which is just uber in our day, but that you would be mature Christians, able to discern good from evil in this present evil age. So he looked at that with joy. And then he says to him, for your fellowship in the gospel with me to this very day. The moment you heard the gospel, we became fellow members of the body of Christ. We might have different gifts and different responsibilities and levels of authority, but in Christ we're one. And it's his grace that has brought me to faith and has saved my eternal soul. And it's only by his grace alone that will save your eternal soul as well. But you know what? You have to want to. He will not push through your will. He will not make you do something in life contrary to what you want to do. But you need to hear the message of grace and turn your will to him. And as it says, then I'll draw near to you. In the reading at Malachi said today, you turn to me and I'll turn to you. He won't overthrow your will. You see, Paul was confident in Christ's perfect work in the world. Let me say that again. Paul was confident in Christ's perfect work in the world, and that means in each one of your lives. For he says, he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. The day of Jesus Christ, his second coming, his second advent, in which we're in the season, acknowledging now and learning about that and growing in that faith. But Paul was confident in this, as I am as a pastor. I'm confident that the good work that he began in you, Jesus will perfect it until the very day that you go to be with him, whether you pass away today or when you're alive and well when he comes at his second coming. That work that he began in you is a supernatural work of grace. The faith that you have, Paul says, we are saved by grace through faith. And even the faith is a gift from God to you. Are you cherishing it? Are you nurturing it? Are you taking care of it within? Are you being careful what goes into the little ears and you're seeing with your little eyes and the words that you're speaking with your mouth? Are you cherishing that gift of grace in your heart? Or are you letting the world and its darkness snub it out and quench that flame that's there? Tell me, you know what's going on there. But Paul is confident that Christ, when he begins a good work in you, he'll be faithful to do it. And the only way person that can get in the way of that is by you resisting his grace when it comes to you. But God's going to complete it in you. That's a promise. And it's the promises as Christians that we cling to. That's not a work. Clinging on faith to a promise is exactly that. It's faith. You're saved by grace through faith. So cling to the promises of God. Respond to them. He says, you are all partakers of me with this same grace. That's a great battle cry of the Reformation. By grace alone, not works, not like we're co-equal with God. I'm going to do my work, he's going to do his work, and we're all going to get along just great, and we're going to spend eternity together. No, the battle cry of the Republic was sola gratia, by grace alone. Sola fide, by faith alone. Do we stand in the grace of God? That's exactly what we're to do. And we all have become partakers. The same grace that made Paul and gifted him to do what he did has been given to you as well, to serve the Lord. That's what we're here to do. But Paul says he understands that the mystery of iniquity is at work in this world. The devil is trying all the time to tempt us, to move us away from that grace, that we would put our confidence in our own, that we would sit on the throne of our hearts instead of Christ to determine our life and our direction in the world. But Paul says, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more. You see, at the core of the Christian faith is our love for God. Paul wants that first of all in our Christian. Our love for God needs to abound more and more. And he's going to tell us how that happens, you see. Love isn't just an emotional thing. But he also wants that love to abound for each other. There's fruits to that. You can see it in families where love abounds. You can also see it when a family's in crisis and there isn't real love. Oh, it's just words. But the family just disintegrates because there's no true love there. No true fruit of that. You see, love is not just an emotion. That's the biblical understanding. It's an obedient action to God's will. And his will in our text today, if you'll notice in verse 9, is what? That you would grow in knowledge and discernment, and that you may be able to approve the things that are excellent. Why do we have the doors open here for Sundays and when we have adult studies and catechesis? It is to grow in the knowledge and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you active in your discipleship and growing up so you can be a tool of the Lord? How's your study going? And by the way, when you're in the study and you're being taught the Word of God by the pastors and teachers of the church, guess what? That's going to give you discernment. Discernment for what? So not like the Christians in this day and almost all worldwide are caught up in politics and the things of this worldly kingdom instead of the kingdom of God. They're taking up sides. There's even hatred. There's not love abounding towards them. One party thinks the other's as foolish and as deceived as can be. I'm just telling you, you can't be in those kingdoms. You can't serve governments and put leaders that are going to promote abortion and kill children and murder children. Or do any of the things that are out there amongst the politics. It's not our kingdom, Christians. Turn to the Lord's kingdom. Get your house in order because the King is coming. So true love means growing in knowledge and all discernment. Again, when the things of this church, when we have services here for the means of grace to grow you up. Not only do the men and women both need to participate in that, but when we have services and we have events, even at any given time, we all look at the weather, don't we? Men, let me address you. When this church is going to conduct a teaching or a fellowship or a worship, and you see the weather map, there's snow coming in. You want to be at the church and do a little shoveling in the name of the Lord? We need everybody there. We need the women there. They do their part as well. And we all do it together. So love is an obedient action. Start taking an interest in your parish and the things that you're doing and serve the Lord. Again, God knows where everybody's at and age and capability and physical capabilities. If you can do it, do it. If you can't, he understands. But he says that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. Why do we need to grow in grace and the knowledge and not get tangled up in the things of the world? Because it's all about his appearing. What condition are you in that you may be without offense at his appearing? That's really what it's all about. That's what we're here for. And again, God isn't, he's only got one purpose. Every time the word of God goes forth in these services, the means of grace that are here, God has only one intent for you. His love. He's pouring it out. He's inviting you in. He's knocking at your heart. He's calling you in. He's inviting you. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. It's all about the heart. Again, God loves you. And he wants, Paul says, he wants you to be filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. Why does Christ and the Holy Spirit work in our midst? To bring glory to the Father. It's to bring glory to the Father. Do you know that your salvation, God is glorified when his children are at work in the gospel? He is. He's glorified. You are a royal priesthood and a holy nation. That's what you are. I pray, my prayer as a pastor, that all of us begin to walk in that noble name and walk with nobility, Christian nobility, in this world. Amen.